In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Before we pray, I'm going to use a chapter from the book of Psalms for mutual encouragement. Please turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 60. Psalms, chapter 60. Yeah? This is a psalm written by David. Now, I think most of the scriptures have this superscriptions, the small letters in the chapter or before the chapter. Yeah. Here it says, when David fought against Mesopotamia and Syria of Joba, and Joab returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Sot. Right. And this was the superscriptions given to the chapter. So when we read this chapter, we know that the background probably was in 2 Samuel after chapter 5, after he was anointed as the king of Israel. Right? And if that is the case, we see that this chapter was written before he sinned against God. Before he sinned against God. From chapter 5 of 2 Samuel to chapter 10, that was the period on which he conquered many land, and he expanded the nation of Israel. But when we read this Psalms from verse 1 to verse 4, it seems that the superscriptions given here, rather the small letters, yeah, the small descriptions given in the chapter does not fit the psalm, it seems. But because he was saying that God has cast the people off, has broken them down, and basically God was angry with the people, right? And you know that when we read from chapter 5 to chapter 10, God was with David. In fact, God made his kingdom at peace with many nations. Why did David respond in this way in this psalm, right? Of course, there are many speculations, and there are also many reasons given as to why he responded in this way. So based on the superscriptions, some said because at that time, when he embarked on the Syrian campaign in the northern part of the kingdom, the Edomite attacked the southeastern part of Israel. So that's why here he says he has to send Joab to defend the land. That was the time of when David was made king, right? And the other possible reason given was that as he was expanding the country even as far as the river Euphrates, he met with much resistance. Again, this is not documented in the Bible, right? Now, I think when we read the story of David, especially towards the end of 1 Samuel, yeah, we find that the people actually suffered a lot. After King Saul was killed, the Philistines occupied much of the land of Israel, right? And I think David was thinking about the state of the nation at the time, right? How the people have suffered as a result of the disobedience of the king and also God's people. Now, David was given a task, a very important mission here, to restore the nation and to expand the country. Afterward, we can try to apply this to our work and see what we can learn from it. Alright. Now I want you to focus on verse 4, yeah? Chapter 60, verse 4. Verse 4 and verse 5. Psalms chapter 60, verse 4 and verse 5. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Verse 5. That your beloved may be delivered, safe with your right hand, and hear me. I think this is a very important mission given to David at the time. Alright? And especially to those who fear God. Right? A banner of God was given to them. Now verse 4 actually explained the purpose of the banner. The banner actually represents the truth, right, by which the truth of God can be revealed, and so that God's people can be saved. Right? So I think here it states a very important principle. In order to expand the country or the nations of Israel, first of all, David must grasp the principle of God. Not only that, he must display the banner of God so that the chosen one of God can be saved. Today we want to expand the kingdom of God to Africa. I think likewise we need to do the same. Right? First we must display this banner from God, which is the truth, and through which we can save many more souls. Alright? Now, the question that we need to ask is this. How did David do it in actual life, in his life? How did he do it? I think that is a crucial question. Alright, now we can turn to 2 Samuel. We can turn to 2 Samuel. We turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Yeah? 2 Samuel chapter 5. We read from verse 1 to verse 5. Here it talks about how David was enthroned as the king of Israel. Right? And what did he do? What was the first thing that he do? Yeah? So when we read from chapter 5 verse 6 onwards, we see that he did not attack, go straight away to expand the nation of Israel. Yeah? He did not go out to conquer lands for Israel. But the first thing that he did was to attack the Jebusites who dwelt in Jerusalem. Right? These people were in Jerusalem. Right? Now, I think this is a very important point here. Right? Before he can expand the nation of God, the first thing that he need to do is to sort out the center of the nation. Which is Jerusalem. I think that is a very important message. Now, the next thing that he did, if you read from verse 17 onwards, then he defeated this Philistine. We can read verse 25. Yeah? Chapter 5, verse 25. And David did so as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistine from Geba, or Jerba, as far as Gaza. Now we find that if you look up a map, we find that Geba is probably the northeastern part of Israel. It's only about 6 now. Jerusalem, I mean, northeastern part of Jerusalem, probably only about 6 miles away from Jerusalem. So we find that these people actually could exert a very bad influence on the people of God, because they brought in all sort of pagan worship, stuff like that, to influence the people of God. So in chapter 5 itself, we find that before he conquered other part of the land, the first thing that he do is to conquer Jerusalem, to take back Jerusalem, and then to remove the Philistine from Geba. Right? Now the next thing that he did after that is to bring back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. Right? I think again this is a very important lesson that we can talk about later on. Alright, now to do the work of God, we see that David first removed what was bad within the nation, especially the center, Jerusalem, and people that can exert direct influence on the people of God. He removed all of them, and then bring back the ark, right? The center of worship, where people could follow the guidance of the Lord. And not only that, when you come to chapter 7, he actually intended to build a house for God, to house this Ark of the Covenant. Right? Only then when we come to chapter 8, then he continue with his conquest. Right? And then we can see this right up to chapter 10, before he sinned. Alright, I think this is how David restored the people, or how he expanded the nation of God. Now, today, individually speaking, our heart is the center of a person, our heart. Now, before we can serve the Lord, before we can talk about going to other places to serve, I think the most important thing is to conquer ourselves first. The thing within us is just like Jerusalem, the center. Right. The next thing that we need to do is to disassociate ourselves with any corroding influence. Influence that can corrupt our faith, things or friends or whatever. Right. I think that is pretty important. And then to put God back in our heart as the most important person in our life. All right. And before we can talk about expanding the work of God, and this is exactly what David did. All right. Now, I think these two points are pretty important, because by removing the Jebusite and the Philistine and bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, David fostered a very good relationship between himself and God, as well as between his people and God. As a result, the country became very, very strong. That's why they can conquer the land without problem. So when you read this section of the scriptures, you find that wherever he went, whatever he did, God was with him all the time. All right. So I think my understanding of the guidance of God is very simple and straightforward. Right. Now, on many occasions, we find that David did not inquire God, neither did God speak to him. But how did God guide him? Yeah, and I think we should follow this clear principle here. First is to remove what is impure within, and secondly is to have God back to our heart. All right, and this covenant can represent the way we conduct our life. You know, how we keep the commandments of God, stuff like that. All right, if we can do these two things, then you will see. And then we will witness the abiding presence of God in our life and also in our work for Him. So I also believe that we can do the same if we want to embark on our mission work, be it in Africa or in your own local church. Sometimes we always ask for God's guidance. But here David has given us a very good example. Yeah. As to how God can actually guide us. Right? That is by removing things that could really corrupt or corrode our faith, and then have God as the center. Then we will know what to do. Right? Come to our time today, we find that more often than not, God does not speak to us directly, whether we like it or not. He does not speak to us. And how do we know that God guides us in our work? If we follow these two principles, then you know. Even when we read the book of Acts, sometimes God spoke to Paul directly. And he knew that God wanted him to do certain tasks, a major task in certain area. But apart from that, God did not speak to him. If you look at the patterns in Acts of the Apostles, basically what they did is similar, pretty similar to 2 Samuel. You find that they follow the commands of the Lord, that is to preach and to pastor the members. Whenever they return from their missionary trip, they pastor the members. And if they did not do anything, they went to pray. Alright? And also we find that in Acts of the Apostles, the pattern is that they always remain humble, purity of heart, very humble before God. That's why we could clearly see God was with them all the time. That's the pattern. This is how we can be guided by God. Right? If we can follow that, then I think our work will be a successful one. To be honest, God has never spoken to me directly, never in my life. Neither have I seen a vision before. But I believe that when we pray for guidance, the important thing is to put God back to our heart as the first person, the most important person. Now, if we turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5. Now, we know that at that time, David was the king. Now, if you look at this in a collective sense, in the sense of a church, then what should we do then? How should we reach out to the outside world so that we can bring more people to Christ to expand the kingdom of God? Again, I think within the community of faith, we have to remove Jebusite, right? We need to have pure faith within the community of faith. I think that is a very important thing to follow. Because when these people are around, we see that they cause a lot of corruptions to the faith. That's why from the very beginning of the scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, even before they entered into the land, even in Numbers, even before they entered into the land, God has already told them that they must annihilate all the Canaanites. Right? Why? Because these people can snare them, can cause a lot of problems to them. But somehow these people failed to do so. But up to this time, when David was the king, he tried to revive that old commandment from the Lord in the time of Moses, to remove all the Jebusites and the Philistines. Right? So I think, in the church, especially young people like us, we exposed to different sorts of thinking, stuff like that, right? Outside the church. Sometimes unknowingly we may introduce certain ideas into the church. Just to give you an example, now this world emphasizes on freedom of speech. You can say what you want in, you have your rights, isn't it? No one can infringe your personal right. You can say what you want. You are responsible for your word. But if this idea is brought into the church, what happens? We see that the church will lose what? Will lose this order. Yeah? And we see that people can start talking about one another. And we know that this is not right. All right? And that can actually affect the spirit of servitude in the church, right? So I think the important thing is, as a group, especially we are here to learn to serve the Lord, I think it's important for us to remember not to introduce anything which is harmful to the community of faith. That's a very important principle to grasp. Jerusalem, the center of our faith, today must be God and not any other worldly ideas. All right. Now, I think as a group to serve the Lord, the next thing that we need to do is to enthrone God to be the king. Just like here, we see that even when David was enthroned as the king, he did not forget to house the Ark of the Covenant of God. All right. But only after that, then he started to conquer all the lost land. I believe this is how he displayed the banner of God. How he displayed the banner of God. That's the truth. And this is how he saved his people. How he saved his people. I think our mission is about the same. We hope that our brothers and sisters here can remember what David did, so that we can put this into practice. Now we are going to pray. We pray for, continue to pray for our lessons, and we also pray for one another. Pray for the work in Africa as well. For those who wish the laying on of hands, please do not hesitate to come forward here.